Welcome back, everyone, to Box Box Podcast, another week, but another week of no F1. However, the rumours have been heating up surrounding Max Verstappen, Mercedes, what's going to happen with George Russell. We've got plenty to talk about, but before we do, I do want to encourage you to give us a 5-star rating wherever you are listening to us. It does really help us out. And yeah, leave a little review if you want to. You can also leave comments on Spotify and stuff like that. But if you do want to be more involved with us, then head over to social media. You can follow us on TikTok and Instagram, where we post daily content for you guys, which is all F1 related. Some of it is clips from the podcast. Some of it is additional content. So yeah, just search Boxbox Pod. You'll find us there. We are obviously Boxbox Podcast, powered by Boxbox Club. So if you do want to get an exclusive 30% discount off an Ultra subscription, then do use code BoxboxPod. And yeah, you can get the access to the best F1 widgets out there for your Android or your iPhone. I should also say that it is free if you just want to download it to try it out anyway. You know, you still get access to a certain amount of features. And yeah. It's top quality. Anyway, should we just crack on?
All right, guys, welcome along. If you started, Luke, my light's just gone off. So when you're editing this, that's probably why. When 1 minute you're looking, when it's light on, then it's just gone off. It's dead. It's gone.
As in the one on your... Yeah, on so that's... face. You might have noticed that I am sitting in a different position. That is because for whatever reason... My light is only on like the lowest level of brightness. It won't go any higher. So it was basically redundant. So I'm sitting opposite my window to let in natural light to light me. But I apologize. The background's a little bit boring. It's just like a white wall. There's a guitar. But next week, back to normal. Don't worry.
But anyway, let's get on to some F1 news. So before we get on talking about, you know, the Max Verstappen and Christian Horner news this week, let's just touch on a few things. So Jonathan Wheatley has come out this week. He's been spoken to about, you know, his former Red Bull days, and he's spoken about Sergio Perez. And he has said Sergio Perez was born with natural speed and still has what it takes to deliver in Formula One. As we know, he's heavily linked with Cadillac for 2026. But actually, there is also reports that potentially he could come into Alpine. So, you know, we've spoken many times about Sergio Perez. But he seems very liked, and perhaps we, you know, we've spoken on the podcast, perhaps we underrated him. Perhaps he is underrated.
It's complicated because I always really highly rated him during the first half of his career at Red Bull. You know, he did really well in the 2021 season. He 2022. He was good again. He was sort of where you expected a number two driver to be. And there's no shame in being number two to Max Verstappen. But, you know, 2023 didn't massively help his case. And then 2024 was a disaster. Now, during that period, we obviously just assumed it was Sergio Perez that was the problem. I know what he was saying. This car is awful and everything. But it's still... confusing even to this day why that second car is not performing. Why is Max Verstappen able to take it to race wins but other people aren't? So I don't think we can solely blame it on the car. There is something wrong with these drivers that Red Bull are putting in those seats. But Sergio Perez was the best sort of Red Bull second driver for a long time. It was just a shame how it ended. And, you know, do I think that he could do a job in F1 now, given that what we've seen with the second drivers still struggling at Red Bull? I think, yeah, I'll take back definitely some of the criticism that I've made about Sergio Perez, because he always was a solid driver up until those last two seasons. And you never truly know whether that is like decline because of his age or, you know, the car.
Okay, answer me this then. So on the grid currently, you know, we talk about this second seat at Red Bull being cursed. What drivers on the grid do you think go into that second seat and do a job next to Max Verstappen?
Well, I think there are, you know, a handful of George Russell, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton. Who am I missing? I even like Nico Hülkenberg. I've said that many times that he'd be a great Red Bull driver. Carlos Sainz. I think they're all drivers that we would see. You know, the first five that I reeled off are obviously the kind of the elite level.
But do you think
and Carlos Sainz? I think also fits into that as well. You know, Carlos Sainz would still be racing at the top level if it wasn't for Lewis Hamilton, and you know that's a story for another day. But I think those top five, like the elite drivers, surely they wouldn't go there and struggle in the same way that Yuki Tsunoda is, or Liam Lawson was, or Sergio Perez did. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I think, yeah, Oscar Piastri, yeah, would go there, do a good job. Lando Norris, yeah. Charles Leclerc, yeah. Lewis Hamilton, yeah. I think that those top five drivers you've mentioned, even George Russell, could go there and do a job. I'm a bit hesitant on Carlos Sainz, simply because he's gone to Williams, which in theory, you know, he should be doing much better than Alex Albon, and he actually hasn't done that. So would I feel so confident that he would go into that Red Bull seat with how difficult it is and match Max? Probably not, no. Or even, you know, be picking up podiums and all that stuff.
Yeah, I just want to say...
I'm not saying, like, he's going to win.
I don't necessarily think any of those drivers would match Max, but I think they would... It's likely that they would be where they should be.
More competitive.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I saw a post this week about the Red Bull second drivers, and these are stats taken from 2019 to 2025. So let's talk through these drivers. So Yuki Tsunoda, currently 10 starts, 0 wins, 0 podiums, 0 poles. His points per race is 0.7, okay? Liam Lawson, we know, 2 starts, no wins, all of that, 0 points. Sergio Perez, 90 races, 5 wins, 29 podiums, 3 poles, and he's at average points per race is 10.3. Alex Albon, 26 races, 0 wins, 2 podiums, 0 poles, an average rating of 6.9. And then you go to Pierre Gasly, 12 starts, no wins, no podiums, no poles, an average points per race of 5.2. So when you look at Sergio Perez, you know, 10.3 points on average over those 90 races isn't a bad return.
No. Look, there's no point sitting here and lying and saying that Sergio Perez hasn't been the best, you know, Red Bull second driver that they've had in the Max Verstappen era. That's undeniable. Mm. There's also, I think, you know, what we can't forget is how poor it was at the end. But it's only, like, with the power of hindsight that we have now, seeing, like, other drivers struggle, that, yeah, maybe we could put it down to the car a bit. But I think that the overarching point here that I don't want people to miss is that Red Bull should have two elite drivers that are able... If Max Verstappen is carrying this car to wins, you need a driver that is at least carrying it to podiums and, you know, points every single race.
Agreed.
Because they're Red Bull. That should be a non-negotiable. They should have two drivers that are able to drive this car, regardless of how difficult it is. Like, you don't see this level of disparity between drivers anywhere on the grid. So I don't see why it should be normalised at Red Bull. You know, yeah, Sergio Perez was great, but he was right to lose his seat. That was fair. Liam Lawson and Yuki Tsunoda have, you know, been... I mean, towards the end of Sergio Perez's career at Red Bull, no different. They've been no worse in my... I mean, Liam Lawson had a real horrid time. But he had 2 races. But that's the main problem for Red Bull. And, you know, maybe that's part of the reason Christian Horner lost his job.
Yeah.
Why... you know, yeah, in any era of domination, you have not seen this level of disparity. You know, Mark Webber was not this far off Sebastian Vettel. Valtteri Bottas was not this far off Lewis Hamilton. Rubens Barrichello was not this far off Michael Schumacher. Do you know what I mean? They were still taking the car to where it should be. You just had great drivers, absolutely biblical drivers, who were going on and winning championships. Very good. But the number twos have always been good.
They've always done what they needed to do. They've picked up those P2s, P3s. They put it on the podium. They've picked up enough points to get the constructors as well. They've been a good number two driver. Like you say, Rubens Barrichello, Valtteri Bottas. You know, Bottas, for how many years was it? Got into Q3. Like, how many?
I think it was 103 races, was it?
You know, that is a good number two driver. That's exactly what they do, and they are consistent. And, you know, unfortunately, Perez lost his seat because he didn't do that. And actually, since then, they've not been able to get another number two driver who can go in there and, you know, take that to those podiums, those P4s, P5s. Sometimes they can't even get into points. So, you know, Red Bull are in a very bad place at the moment. And I know you'll always do fine when you've got Max Verstappen at the helm. But touching on Max now, obviously, with the news of Christian Horner leaving, there's heavy reports now linking Max to Mercedes. There's reports that actually he's flown out and they were quite close together, him and Toto. I don't know. What's your thoughts on this? Is Max going to Mercedes?
I think he is. We obviously, if you didn't know, we did like a little special episode on Christian Horner losing his job, which is audio exclusive. So if you haven't listened to that, do go and check it out. But I said in that episode, there's one of two ways that Christian Horner has lost his job. And one of them is because Max Verstappen said, I'm only staying if he goes. The other is because Max is already gone. You know, that's like being a security guard for the crown jewels and someone steals them, you're going to lose your job, right? That is essentially what has happened here. It is at this point in time for Red Bull, it is pretty catastrophic for them to lose Max Verstappen, but it would be for anyone at any point. You know, it would have been like Mercedes losing Lewis or Ferrari losing Michael. It is fundamentally going to destroy them, I think, because look, whatever they've built, and I know we're going into a new era of cars, but whatever they've built is not working for the ordinary driver, who are very good drivers. You know, Yuki Tsunoda is a good driver, Liam Lawson is a good driver, Sergio Perez was a very good driver. They couldn't drive this car. If talents like Max Verstappen, you can't just pick them up off the street, you know. They're once in a generation. And what are the chances that Red Bull are going to hit another one next? Because it's not been looking good for them for the last, how you know, seven years or so for their sort of talent ID. They're in real trouble. And I think, honestly, I think Max Verstappen has probably verbally already agreed to join Mercedes next season.
Okay, so say hypothetically Max joins Mercedes, okay, for 2026. Red Bull have lost Christian Horner, lost a lot of other key figures within the team. Mm-hmm. Where does this leave Red Bull? Because I'm not being funny, like you said, there's not many Max Verstappens around, and actually they're not going to be taking drivers like Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc. I can't imagine would leave Ferrari to go to Red Bull, not Lewis Hamilton either. I mean, you would expect George Russell would stay at Mercedes alongside Max Verstappen. So where do Red Bull go from this, go forward, if they do lose Max?
I actually don't know. Like, it could send them back to the fucking dark ages. This is a total and utter meltdown for the team. Honestly, you know, like you say, you look at the key figures that they've lost over the couple of years, the past couple of years, most notably, obviously, Adrian Newey, Jonathan Wheatley. They've lost some key engineers who have gone, you know, to places like McLaren and Aston Martin. They've now lost Christian Horner, who I've openly come out and said, I don't understand the sacking of Christian Horner. There's obviously something going on. It's not performance related, in my opinion, because it just, Red Bull have been far worse than this, and he's always been able to steady the ship through like periods of storm. So I really don't know where it leaves them. It leaves them in the shit if they then lose Max. I don't know where they go from there.
You know, people have gone there in the past because of they're an attractive team to go to. You know, when you get to work with Adrian Newey, you know, Christian Horner, you know, these are born winners, and that's why they've attracted these big drivers in the past. Those figures aren't there anymore. So Red Bull has gone from this attractive team, this, you know, constructors' champions team and all of this stuff over the years, to a team that actually, you know, not many drivers would actually leave their current team to go to, unless you're likes of Esteban Ocon or people in the Haas. I'm talking about the top teams like McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari. None of those drivers would, you know, move teams.
None of those drivers are going to pick up and take their things over to the Red Bull factory. It's just not happening. Not at this point in time. And obviously, I'm sure you've all seen the 2026 rumours that Mercedes are looking allegedly light years ahead. It's also been reported that you shouldn't count out Honda and Ferrari. But yeah, it's looking like Audi and Red Bull are rumoured to be struggling. So I'm sure that's also in Max's mind. But look, I don't think any of us, if we cast our minds back to 2021, I'm not sure any of us ever expected Max Verstappen to be driving a Mercedes, but here we are talking about, I think at this point it's more unlikely that Max stays at Red Bull than it is he joins Mercedes.
And it's funny,
I've got no insider information here, obviously. That's my gut feeling.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we spoke, what, a couple of seasons ago, before McLaren started getting, you know, started dominating and becoming good, and we said, you know, Red Bull should actually go for someone like Lando Norris, a top driver, to put in that seat alongside Max, because one day, you know, Max may want to leave, one day things might change, and they need to have another solid driver alongside Max. It seems like Red Bull have missed the boat now in actually taking these drivers, because, yeah, as we said earlier, McLaren are now light years ahead. Ferrari are Ferrari. And yeah, it's interesting. There's not many drivers on that grid who I would say... I mean, there's no one other than, in, you know, outside of those top teams who I would say who could go into Red Bull and do a solid job. I don't know what your thoughts are on
that. No, I completely agree. Sorry, I was just checking my, making sure it's still recording, but I was listening. I completely agree. I think this is, you know, that kind of links back to what I was saying about missing the mark by only having one driver. It lost them the constructors last year. It's obviously cost them a lot this year, because now Max isn't able to convert this car into race wins as frequently as he was able to last year. And yeah, it's, you know, now you're in the situation where if you lose Max Verstappen, actually you've lost everything, because without Max Verstappen, and I know this is kind of like a, I don't know what the word is, like a false equivalency of, you know, if you take Max out the car, Red Bull have no points. But I know that's not true, because they'd have another driver in and maybe they might have scored some points. But actually, if you're going back off, well, not they wouldn't have scored any points. They'd be last in the Constructors' Championship. I think they'd have 7 points, is it? You know, like I say, you don't just replace a Max Verstappen. If Yuki Tsunoda, who we all thought was great, you know, we watched him at AlphaTauri sort of really like blossom into a solid driver. We all thought Yuki was going to go there and do absolutely fine. We didn't think he was going to beat Max. That's fine. No one will. But he's not done well. So now I'm thinking, well, you know, like you say, unless you lure one of those top drivers, how are you actually going to fix this? Let's say Max Verstappen left right now. Right now. Do Red Bull pick up a point? Or do Red Bull pick up any points for the rest of the season?
I think they'll pick up points, but I think they'll be picking up like 3 points here and there, 4 points here and there. I can't see them getting on podiums and stuff like that.
Let's say they didn't have Max Verstappen from the start of the season. Where are Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship?
P7? P8?
Now,
which is... Huh?
That is catastrophic.
It is. But this is something which is really interesting. Let me just put, you know, some of the names, and we've spoken about the people who've left. Obviously, Christian Horner, Jonathan Wheatley, Rob Marshall, Adrian Newey. So four of the biggest architects of Red Bull's, you know, rise to dominance have gone. Like, this is a team who had so much success because of not just Max Verstappen, but these fundamental figures behind, you know, behind the scenes, taking this team forward. They've gone. Like, Red Bull, in theory, are, I don't want to say nothing now, but they are nothing without these big four figures. And if you're a Red Bull fan and you're Max Verstappen and you're seeing this, no wonder you're in a position going, do you know what? Actually, I might jump ship now. Like, do I really want to have my legacy tarnished because we go backwards? Because, you know, there's no progression. They may have some good people behind the scenes, granted. But like, if you're Max Verstappen, you're looking at this and going, no, that's me out. Like, get me off.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes complete sense to jump ship, in my opinion. You don't need to be loyal in this sport. He doesn't owe Red Bull anything. He's given them a lot. Red Bull have given him a lot as well. It's give and take in the sport. But look, if Max wasn't performing, Red Bull would get rid of him. Hmm. Why should Max not get rid of Red Bull if they're not performing? Because he's turning up. Hmm. You know, he's doing everything. I think you could probably, yeah, you know, could, if Max was in a Mercedes or a Ferrari, is he in a championship battle this year? Or are those McLarens too far gone?
McLarens are too far. Regardless. Yeah, I think McLarens are too far.
He has taken them to town a couple of times in that Red Bull, which, you know, I don't think it's as bad as people make out, but it's clearly not great. And it's just going to be tough to watch Max in a Mercedes outfit.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. Where do Red Bull go from here? So according to David Croft, Horner's most likely path back into Formula One would involve mimicking Toto Wolff by buying an ownership stake in a team. Obviously, there's reports which are heavily linking Horner to Alpine. So since obviously he's left a team last week, he's been reported that he's been linked with the likes of Alpine. Does that make sense for someone like Christian Horner?
I don't see how that's his... Why is that his most likely route? Christian Horner must be hot property, no?
But when you're looking at it, so there's reports since then that Ferrari are not going to go for Christian Horner. They're happy with Fred. That's some of the reports that have come out. Again, these are just reports. The majority of things I've seen is Alpine related. Aston Martin seem happy. Alpine seem the most logical. It's still close to home for him. It seems like he can have more of an impact and more of a stake in the team.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it being appealing from that point of view, because if he has some ownership, maybe he wouldn't lose his job. But I'm just confused. I thought, you know, unless there is something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, I thought teams would be all over him. I think maybe not mid-season. I didn't think it was the right time to get rid of Christian Horner. Like, if you were going to get rid of him, I don't think it was necessary to do now. On a performance basis, like I said, there's something going on that we're not being told, and that's fine.
But saying that, I don't know. I kind of disagree, because look, you know, we're halfway through the season. We've got half season left. So if you know that Christian Horner isn't part of your future, this is probably the most logical time to do it, because it allows the new team principal, obviously, to come in, to gel into the team, to be a part of the planning for 2026. So actually, I think it's probably the most logical time to replace Horner if you feel he's not part of your future.
I don't know. Does it not seem... It seems a little bit like a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what I mean, like, something's going on. If you're sacking a man after 20 years for poor performance... Firstly, I said it already, they've had far worse seasons than this. And he got them through that. Why was he fine then? Why was Christian Horner the man for the job then, but he's not now? And that's why I'm just so convinced something is going on behind the scenes that we're not being told.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, we could well be. And I'm sure over the only annoying thing is, it's what, another 2 weeks until Spa? So we have to wait until then to actually kind of hear a bit more behind, you know, a bit more from Red Bull and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, it'd be interesting to find out what actually happens. Right. Ferrari. Last podcast, the last main podcast, I may have gone on a rant after the post-Silverstone race. And look, after that, there was news in the paper, and I don't know if you've seen this, Luke, in the Italian paper, that when will Ferrari start listening to Lewis Hamilton? Have you seen the clip?
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's a valid question. When do Ferrari start listening to Lewis Hamilton? Because Ferrari's strategy this year, like most years, has been pretty poor. Okay, you've got a 7-time world champion in your team. He knows how to win. He knows how to be part of a team and make, you know, work closely and make good decisions. You hear him over the radio going, can I do this? No. But why? When do Ferrari start listening to this man?
Do you know what really annoyed me in Silverstone? I think it was just before... It was when Lewis boxed, when he was stuck behind Nico. And I'm pretty sure it was then. Sorry if I got the timing wrong, but it was definitely Silverstone. You know, he was kind of saying, like, why? Like, you know, why now or something? And they were like, box. And he was like... Basically, like, sending a question back, and all he was getting was box. There was zero communication. You know, like, Bono would have said to him that he would have at least given a brief explanation. I know they haven't got a lot of time and these things are quick, but the communication between... I wouldn't even say it's between them. The communication from Ricky's end is just not on point, in my opinion. I think we've seen it multiple times this season that... And I get it. He's working with, you know, a new driver. You know, they've got to build a relationship, understand what they like. But it's, in my opinion, it's not good enough. And there is a problem there. To be honest, I mean, we saw problems with the Ferrari race engineers when, you know, Lewis wasn't there. I think now you're just kind of seeing it even more. And I think, yeah, it's about time they use the experience of a 7-time world champion. Is that not part of the reason they got him?
You look at Austria, wasn't it? You know, when Hamilton was like, I know I can stay out. I've got 20 laps. Leave me out. What's the word? You know, I'm not going to be anywhere different. So just leave me out. See if I can get a podium. No, box. It's kind of like you've got someone with that much experience, especially in a team where, I mean, I'm saying that they're learning, but every race seems to be like a new issue. You know, whether it can be quite small, but the communication or the, you know, the decision making just isn't on point. And when you've got a driver who's come in, and you can see it with Charles Leclerc, Charles with his engineer is going, but why? Like, there's just... Mm-hmm. There's so much frustration from the drivers. When are they going to start? I know we're saying about listening to Lewis Hamilton, but when are they going to start listening to Charles and Lewis and go, let us have input in the strategy. We're the ones who are in the car. And don't get me wrong, right? Drivers can get it wrong. And you know that. Go back to what, Barcelona 2021, when they made that great decision to in Mercedes to stop. And Lewis went on to win the race, you know, or even Russia in 2021, when Lewis said, no, I can stay out. No, we're going to box you. You know, when Lando went on to spin and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Drivers don't always get it right, and I get that. But, you know, you've got so much experience in Lewis Hamilton. You haven't won titles in years. Start listening to the man.
Yeah, it's just nuts. It's... I really hope next season is different. I feel like Ferrari do need to make changes. Look, if you're gonna do all of this to get a 7-time world champion in, and then kind of just stick to your ways, which haven't been working for years and years now, then it's all for nothing. So I hope they do make big changes. I mean, we obviously know Lewis has a great relationship with Fred. You know, and you say, like, we talk about Lewis, is you got Charles Leclerc there as well, an extremely experienced F1 driver, super quick, but being let down by the team. And, no. You know, if Ferrari are another team, they're lucky because they've got the badge. The badge is the pull power for them. Whereas Red Bull don't really have that, right? But Ferrari could still find themselves in a situation where they lose, you know, they're these talents, because they're not providing them with the necessities. So I hope it doesn't happen. And look, what I've read today, well, I read it the other day from my sources, Twitter, Ferrari are the only team left to bring a big upgrade package. And I think it's coming at Spa, because basically pretty much every other team has just switched to 2026 development now.
I don't know. Is that a bad thing, though? Are we then going to, you know, get to Abu Dhabi and then Ferrari are like, do you know what? Lads, right, let's start working on the 2026 car, shall we?
Well, I like to think they've started already. but they're obviously proportioning their development between the two, whereas I think now other teams have just completely switched to... They're obviously, teams will bring minor upgrades, but... Yeah, I think the consensus is that Ferrari, if they bring this upgrade and it works, and it, you know, is able to take them to the front of the pack, then other teams won't really be able to respond to it because the development has already switched. But it won't work.
No, and trusting Luke's sources over the years hasn't really been something I've...
Trust me on this one. We're going to see a big upgrade package at Spa. Just... trust me.
Well, let's hope, shall we? Do let us know what your thoughts are on Lewis Hamilton. Should they listen to him more? Do let us know. Right, so we're officially halfway through the season. The championship is basically between Lando and Oscar. So I'm just going to give a quick breakdown.
Well, I mean,
of where
it
they
depends
are.
how well this upgrade package works, really.
Okay,
then
so
I think we could see Lewis in the mix.
Yeah, so the championship is between Oscar and Lando. So just head to head where they are. So Lando Norris, 4 wins. Piastri 5, Norris podium 6, Piastri 5 podiums. Norris has had 3 pole positions, Piastri has had 4. Qualifying head to head, do you know this, Luke?
Quali head to head is probably pretty even, I'd say.
5 to Norris, 7 to Piastri.
Yeah, that's close.
And race head to head, 6 each. This is obviously not including sprint races. But obviously, halfway through the season, who is your championship favourite at this moment in time?
It has got to be, I think, Oscar at this point. Just because he has got that temperament, he's got a cooler head. You know, he would have won Silverstone if it wasn't for, let's not forget that, if it wasn't for the penalty. Which, don't get me wrong, that's got nothing to do with Lando. And it was stupid from Oscar to break like that. But he was in control of that race. He was, you know, he was flying at first. So, yeah, I think, you know, it was unfortunate that he didn't win in Silverstone. I still stand by the fact that I think on raw pace, Lando is quicker, but it's not always converted into race wins. That's the problem. So if you're telling me right now I've got to stick a tenner on either of them, it's going on Oscar.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just weird, just while you're talking then, I just clicked on something, and this has come from the Express. Okay, it's on the news. And I don't know how I feel about this. So Ferrari have been warned that they are at risk of losing Lewis Hamilton less than a year after since he's been... Let me rephrase that, okay? Because I was actually reading it.
But not rephrase that. Why don't you just redo that?
Redo that. So Ferrari have been warned that they are at risk of losing Lewis Hamilton less than a year after him leaving Mercedes. The seven-time world champion has spoken openly about his struggles during his first season. And Hamilton has called on Ferrari to abandon progress on their current car and instead start prioritising next season. Current team principal Fred Vasseur is under pressure after failing to put Hamilton and Charles Leclerc in cars capable of competing for McLaren. But reports in Italy are that actually Lewis Hamilton is kind of already had enough at Ferrari.
I don't think that's true. That sounds like bullshit to me. Look, Lewis has openly said, I'm going to race at Ferrari for, you know, years to come. It was always going to be a challenge. Lewis is not the sort of man that has ever backed down from a challenge. I think he's right to be frustrated with this season. Naturally, you would be, right? You leave Mercedes where you've won 8 constructors, 6 world championships, to go to Ferrari where it's been a bit of a disaster season. But let's not forget, we call it a disaster season. They are P2.
Yeah,
in the Constructors' Championship. So, look, it's not as bad as I think people make out. It's just that they're not competing for wins, and they're, you know, they're seemingly incapable of doing so. So, I agree they should be focusing on next year's car, but there is still something to get out of this year, I think. And look, there's still a long way to go. There's no chance that either of them win the championship, but wouldn't it be nice if they both had a couple of race wins under their belts for this season?
A nice win at Monza, both Ferraris on the podium, would be lovely. I think it'd be... Ferrari always finish the season strong, so I'm hopeful that we can have a strong end to the season, especially heading into the new era of cars next year. So, yeah, I think for Fred Vasseur, for Lewis Hamilton, and for Charles Leclerc, and we talk about Lewis a lot, but even Charles, you know, he'll get to a point where he's like, you know, I can't, what am I doing here? Because
will get to a point and say, fuck this, I'm Charles Leclerc. I should be in championship battles. I should be winning races. I'm a young man. I'm a good-looking young man, you know. I should be winning on the grid like I am off the grid. So, yeah, it's, you know... They do need to sort it out. But look, we don't hear these sort of rumblings at Mercedes. You know, George Russell deserves a championship-winning car. It is just part of the game, and you can't just run away from it, you know, after 6 months. And I these reports will be complete bullshit.
No, I agree. Sauber, can we do... I don't know if you know this. So after points after 24 races... in 2024 and the season before, all of last year was 4 points, okay? Already after 12 races, they've got 41 points. I mean, Binotto going in, Jonathan Wheatley, Hulkenberg, Bortoletto, they're taking this team in the right direction.
Yeah. Look, Sauber are doing great things, and everyone thought this season, that's a write-off, you know. This season doesn't... If Sauber got 0 points, if Sauber got minus 20 points, it's not even possible, but let's say they did. It actually, no one would care. Like, theirs is all about the wider project going into next year. But the fact that they've come in and they're having a really good season, that's going to give them a boatload of confidence going into 2026 for the new regulations and obviously the new team Audi. So I'm gassed for Sauber, and you know, like I said, for a team that had zero expectations going into this season, they must be over the moon, and especially obviously with the Hülkenberg podium after Silverstone, that's just sick.
No, it was really good to see. But guys, that is probably our shortest podcast, and I think it's probably because we spoke about Christian Horner early in the week, but that is all the news at this moment in time. That is the end of the podcast. This is our shortest podcast I think we've ever done, our main one.
Official, yeah, this is probably one of the shortest official ones. But look, guys, it's because we're releasing more content. You know, if you do want to listen to a bit more, go and listen to that Christian Horner episode. It's a spicy one, and we'll be back next week looking ahead to. No, we won't even next week. I've got my little calendar just over here. What is it? It's the 13th.
We'll be looking at Spa. Yeah.
Yeah, next week when we record, we'll be looking ahead to Spa, which I'm excited for. Spa is always such a good weekend, unless, you know, other than 2021, which was fucking shit. But we've got a Ferrari upgrade coming.
I was there last year. Yeah,
you went there last year. So, well, I'm buzzing for it.
So thank you very much for listening. If you're listening on Spotify or any other audio platform, please give us a 5-star rating. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit like button, subscribe if you're new. Do check us out on all social media. TikTok, we post daily, bless you. And yeah, do check us out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We don't use that much, but do check us out on all social media. We'll be back next week. Have a great week, and I shall see you later. Bye-bye.